3 and verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which be of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Praise God. And we said that word faithful there could be translated believing. So we're teaching on the living in the supernatural, and this particular lesson is subtitled, One Thing is Needful. All right, so let's go back over now and let's look at where we get that subtitle from. Let's go to Luke's Gospel in Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, he says this in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered in to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Glory to God. One thing is needful. The teaching that we've been doing on the supernatural brings out the fact that you and I have been designed to live in heaven's atmosphere. We have been designed for it. That's the way we were made. And if you look at this, when we have praise and worship, one of the things that it does is creates heaven's atmosphere. And you and I were designed to live there. As a matter of fact, when we get into that atmosphere, it's like home. I mean, you can actually hear God. Things that maybe you've been wondering about, you get in those atmospheres. I mean, when we have the faith conference, we have the spirit of faith so built up in this place till after about the third day, you can hear God any kind of way. I mean, you can hear him as clear as you hear me right now. So this supernatural realm is a realm that you and I are supposed to live in, and that it's heaven's atmosphere. Adam was born or created in that realm. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, please, very quickly. Genesis chapter 2. And if you look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, he says this, And the Lord God formed man and of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now that word living soul, one translation is mankind became a speaking spirit like God. Like God, speaking spirit like God. All the attributes God had, he put inside of man. Now, man's body is his body, but man is on the inside of there. So that's his body. That's his body. Your body is considered like a house. You live in the house. You walk in the house, walk out of it. You come in this body, and then if Jesus tarries, you go out of it. And the body goes back to the dust. But don't confuse that with you. When he says made you in his image, it's talking about you. It's not talking about your body. Your body is just a house to cover you. You have a tongue. You have eyes. All this is in the spirit. God, if God looked like all of us, it'd be some kind of a monstrosity. I mean, he head, arm, different colors. No, that's not the way God talked about that. All right? So, now look what it says here in verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now notice where he put the man. He put the man in the garden, in Eden, to dress it, the Bible says, and keep it. All right? So here is mankind put in Eden, and Eden was a type of heaven on earth. Eden was in it the same things that were in heaven. Gold, plants, trees, stream, the same thing in heaven that is in Eden. See, heaven is a place. When you get there, you know, some people think they're going to fly around all day. You're walking, you're talking. It's a place, it's a community, it's a city. And so he created that in the earth. Why? Because this was supposed to be for man, as the heavens above the heavens and the universe is for God. He created a person for man, a place for man to be, mankind to be. Now, here, as he put mankind here, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. So that replenish says he's going to stock with abundance. He's going to fill full the earth. He's going to perpetually renew and supply this earth. That was mankind's job. And the blessing was on him to continue the creation of God over the earth. Y'all got all that right. All right. Now, Adam was then, and Eve were in this earth, and in the garden is a type of kingdom of God, the government of God. And so Adam was to rule from that government. And when Adam sinned, the kingdom departed. So Adam didn't have that anymore. So now Jesus came to reintroduce the kingdom and to restart humanity. In other words, he came in this earth to bring heaven back again and get mankind back on track with God's plan for him or her in this earth. All right. Now, as he is doing this, he modeled the potential that mankind has. And he was showing mankind how he was designed to live and what his potential was. And potential is an interesting thing. Potential, these are not anybody that he's showing this to. These are people who will be empowered by the Holy Ghost. In other words, you as an empowered believer can do something that people don't know God can't do. Now, that potential is in you. But potential, it's interesting about it, doesn't manifest without a demand placed on it. In other words, if you have a lot of potential and you never place demand on it, you'll see you'll die with it. When you go to education, you go to school, one of the biggest things the word education means to draw out. It has to do with not so much you getting instruction, but what is happening with that instruction is they're putting a demand on your potential. They're giving you some information and then say, write a term paper. Well, they don't mean go copy somebody else's. They mean for you to draw potential that's inside of you so that whatever is in you and your purpose and your assignment will begin to emerge. Are you following what I'm saying?
All right.
So there's all kinds of potential in you. And what Jesus was saying over in John chapter 14, put it up there, please. John chapter 14 and verse 10, he said this. He said, "Believest thou that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." So he's trying to let them know that, hey, it's not me that's doing this. It's the Father in me, he's doing this. Now, look at verse 12. And if you go towards verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father." Okay? So, what he's telling them now, he's introducing the fact that they are designed for the impossible. That they're now going to be sent to continue the work of creation, and they're going to be going to places that are ruined, places that are devastated, and in those places, they're going to be used to make those places the Garden of Eden because of the blessing that is on their lives. Now, understand who they are. They are speaking spirits like God. And because, Lord have mercy, ooh-wee. Okay, let me try to slow down here. So, now being called to the impossible. So let's take an example. Let's go over to Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. Over in Mark chapter 10. He says here in Mark 10. He said in verse 27, "And Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God some things are possible." All right, all things are possible, okay? So with God, are you with God?
Yes.
All right, all things are possible, all right? Let's, I had another scripture I want to tell you, but I think I'll leave that. So now we are finding out that we are called to the impossible because constantly, Jesus was placing a demand on them to do the impossible. Feed 5,000 plus women and children. Peter's said, "If that be you, tell me to come to you on the water." Walking on the water, he said, "Come." So constantly, there was the impossible. Now, understand, we have been trained by a system that in our logical mind, this particular thing was not possible, or this kind of thing could never happen, or we're just gonna have to live with this or that. But now we're returning to that place, excuse me, of rulership. We're returning to that place where you and I have dominion over the entire earth. Now I'm gonna get somewhere with this in Jesus' name. Now, our assignment again is to go into some places. Let me simmer down here. Praise God. I want to look at that. Where we left off is, I wrote a couple of things down here. Let me just get this into your system. Abraham had to do the impossible. He was in covenant with God. Covenant makes you one. So he was in covenant with God. He was far, he and Sarah were beyond the years of childbearing. Yet God said, "You're gonna have a child. Not only are you gonna have a child, but this child's gonna grow into a great nation." Okay? Did it happen? Yes, it happened. That was impossible. God appeared to a man named Gideon. Gideon tried to delete himself. He said, "Well, I'm poor, first of all. I'm the least in my father, you know, least thought of. I don't have much of this, education, whatever." God said, "No, I'm calling you a mighty man of valor." I'm calling you a mighty warrior. How about David? David here is a shepherd, but God's going to call him a king. Now, I went over to the New Testament, looked at people like Peter again, and Peter started out one way, but he ended up another way, kind of giving you and I an understanding that as we renew our minds, we're going to be operating more and more in the supernatural, because the supernatural is going to become natural. So Peter caught no fish. Here comes Jesus, used his boat. Next thing you know, Peter's got a boat sinking, net breaking load of fish. Business was doing poorly. One moment, next moment, the business was prospering. How about he denied Jesus? Denied him three times. Somebody say he denied Jesus because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. No, I said, but it said denied him three times. Now don't, Brother Hagin said that, so I didn't say that. Okay, that's just a little joke. And also, how about he walked on the water? Notice when he walked on the water, he failed. Are you following what I'm saying? He failed. But notice Jesus picked him up, and then you find him in Acts chapter 5, where the religious rulers told him, don't preach like that anymore. Don't preach anymore about Jesus. And notice what they did. The power of God was so strong on Peter, till when people would come up to him, even when they hit his shadow, they'd get healed. This is the same man that denied Jesus three times. And not only that, they threw him in jail for healing all those folks. And next thing you know, the angel came, brought him out of jail, and told him to go back in that same synagogue and preach again. Praise God. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Now, the only thing I'm telling you is that you may start out one place, but God has crowned you with glory and honor. Glory is the anointing. That's the power empowerment. But the honor is a position. That's leadership. He's calling you for leadership in these last days. Now, why is that so? Because I said to you that Joseph, a type of Christ or the body, I said that God deliberately sends the righteous among the wicked. Okay? Now, Joseph went to Egypt. Notice what he did. He prospered as a slave. Then they falsely accused him, threw him in prison. Then he was raised up by Pharaoh because he had answers. Now, what I said to you is that the smartness of Egypt could not deliver Egypt from the famine that was coming. All right, let me show you how smart Egypt was. I did a little study on this. Egypt built the Great Sphinx. I'm sure you know about that. And it's still a marvel in the world today how they built it. But not only that, they built temples like the Temple of Amon. It's a great site and it's one of the largest of its type in the world. They built great pyramids, which today constitutes one of the seven wonders of the world. Scientists today are still trying to figure out how did they do this. Also, the Egyptians gave the world what we call today calculus. I'm talking about they had great mathematicians. Also, they manufactured large quantities of jewelry. Now, I'm talking about Egypt now and the Egyptians. They also had horses. They bred horses and had some of the finest horses and the finest chariots. If you recall when Egypt, Moses went down and brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they went through the Red Sea. And here were the Egyptians chasing them, going to the Red Sea. And one of the things you'll see is that God disturbed the wheels on the chariots, and they began to come off. Well, that was unheard of, because the other nations bought their chariots from Egypt because they were so well made. But not only that, Solomon, 2 Chronicles 1:16 and 17, he even bought horses from the Egyptians. The Egyptians were supposed to have some of the finest horses in the world. Egypt was also the fashion capital. Women, fashion capital. The Bible speaks even today about the linen of Egypt. As a matter of fact, my shirts, one of the things I try to find is Egyptian broadcloth because it holds its shape and so forth and so on and doesn't shrink that quickly. Egypt, also the advancement in education was known around the world. And they knew things such as when Moses was raised up in Egypt, Moses was raised up in Pharaoh's palace. And in Pharaoh's palace, it was normal for the sons of Pharaoh to know witchcraft. It was normal for them to see it all the time. Pharaoh, when Moses was sent back down there to get children of Israel set free, and God spoke to Moses and said to put that rod down, and that rod turned into a serpent. Notice Pharaoh went and he got his sorcerers and they came out and they duplicated. Well, Moses was used to that because that's what they did all the time. That's the way they entertained Pharaoh. You can't entertain Pharaoh without something, you know. Now, the reason why I'm telling you that, and by the way, this was all before the Arabs got there. The Arabs were not in Egypt. Egypt was Africa. And the Arabs were not in Egypt. Greece got their knowledge from Egyptians. So the Arabs were not there. This is, the Persians were the next to come in because they're the ones that, if you remember the statues which Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed about, had a head of gold. That was Babylon. That's the first. Then he had arms and chest of silver. That was the Medo-Persian kingdom. The Medo-Persian kingdom came in and took out the Egyptians. That's about 500 BC or so. So my point to you is, now this is history I'm talking about. This ain't no revelation. This, you can read this in any book. All right, now, so a lot of people don't know history. You know, if you don't know history sometimes, you need to know history too. All right, now what am I saying? Here was a famine coming. Now with all that they knew, sticks into snakes, calculus, astronomy. That's where we got the reading of the stars and so forth and so on. Remember the wise men from the east came and found Jesus because they read the stars. I'm just saying all this knowledge the Egyptians had, but they didn't have enough smarts to avoid the famine. Got it? I'm talking about all the knowledge we've got today. Casinos are not going to avoid the economic downturn. Can't do it. See? And the tendency is trying to do it without God. That's why God sent Isaiah down there. He sent Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And all of them prophesied about what's going to happen to you down here, Egypt, if you don't stop. Because they were getting so powerful until even Israel was coming to Egypt to get instructions. So God had to stop that. And he turned it upside down. And that's why it's called the dark continent. But God has redeemed things now. And that's why things are redeemed. And you got to go back and preach things. And you're going to see some great, great things coming out of Africa. You're going to see them yourself because God is still God. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm only saying that because that this smartness couldn't deliver Egypt. It couldn't do it. So what God has raised up is you and I. And you and I have the kingdom inside of us. And on that kingdom inside of us, we are able to do things that ordinary folk can't do. Because there is nothing impossible for us if we have God with us. So you can never achieve the impossible without attempting the impossible. Ooh, boy, you need to put that down. You can never achieve the impossible without attempting the impossible. Here's Esther. Esther had to be raised up, but it was a time for Esther now to do the impossible. Well, what was Esther doing? She talking about, well, you know, the king hasn't invited me in there, and I don't know whether I should go. Mordecai told him, said, listen, girl, let me tell you something. If you don't, no, he didn't say that, but he said, listen, you know. He said, if you don't go in there, first of all, God will raise up somebody else to go in there. So if you don't want to go, I can guarantee you God has already got somebody in the pipeline that he'll raise up and make that thing happen. I'm telling you, when he told me about this mall, I kind of shrank back. And then when I shrank back and something told me, if you don't go, somebody else, I'll tell God, I'll go, praise God, I'm going to, let me go. Amen. But he's always got somebody else. Now, the next thing is, here she went in this place. So that's Esther. How about raising up people like Daniel, and so forth. Now, here's what I want to get to. I want to break away from that and start where we left off last time and put all this together for you, because this is going to mean something to you. Let's go back over to Genesis chapter 47 again. Genesis chapter 47. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
All right. Genesis chapter 47. You see, God has put the blessing on you. And the blessing that he's got on your life is intended to continue the work of creation that God has for us to do out here. Don't say it's impossible. You are designed for the impossible. You are made for the impossible. Glory to God. Fire couldn't burn the three Hebrews. It couldn't, because it's impossible to hurt them. Lord have mercy. I like that myself. All right. Look what it says here in, what did I say? Genesis, right? Genesis 47. All right. Now, once again, this is where they brought Joseph's coat of many colors that his father gave him, and they brought his coat to the father, and his father was Jacob. His father looked at the coat and began to say what has happened to his son. Now, this is not what the scripture said. This is what he said without God. And he said, he knew it and said, the evil beast has devoured him. That's found in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 33. And Joseph was without doubt rent in pieces. So he's imagining Joseph destroyed. That's what he's imagining now in his own mind. Who do you think is helping him imagine that kind of stuff? All right, the enemy. Verse 34. And Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. In verse 35 of Genesis chapter 37. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Come on back to Genesis chapter 47, please. All right. I want to make sure that we get the real picture of what's going on here. All right, look what it says here in, I'm not going to read all this, but this is where now Joseph is introducing his dad to Pharaoh. Now, how did Joseph come down there? How did Jacob come down to Egypt? He came down to Egypt through some wagons. Where did the wagons come from? Where did the wagons come from? Now, wait, come on now. Wake up and breathe. Joseph was raised up as second in command in Egypt. Why? Because he had wisdom. Wisdom always brings wealth. Always. Now, God is the only wise God. Am I right about it?
Yes.
And he's the only all wealth God. Praise God. All right, now. So Jacob saw wagons. And what did he see? He saw evidence of the blessing. which when he saw it in Genesis 45, he said, my son Joseph is alive. His proof was the blessing. Now I'm saying that the church many times is trying to show folk proof otherwise. There are religions that don't cuss. All right, let me try it again. There are religions that take off all the earrings and wear a long dress. That's fine. I have nothing against that. See, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Nothing against holiness. My point to you is that's not what's going to distinguish you. Because Satan can copy that. But he cannot copy the blessing. It's very important, folks. He cannot copy that. He can't duplicate it. All right? So, here is Jacob. He's down in Egypt. And now he blesses Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asks him, how old are you? And verse 9, and Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days and years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days and years and life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. So we found out his father was Isaac, and Isaac lived 180 years. Then his grandfather was Abraham. Abraham lived 175 years. All right, so he is saying, I've not attained to that. All right, let's keep going. Chapter 48, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. Now, this word sick doesn't mean he's got some disease. Okay? It means in the Hebrew, worn out. Let's go to Genesis chapter 49. Look at verse 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Now notice what he did. He blessed his sons, he pronounced their prophetic destinies. Then he went in the room and just fell asleep. That's it. Nobody killed him. He gave it up. Got it? Now, here's what I want to tell you. He was warned. Now, what wore him out like that? All right, grief. All right. Flo, okay, all right, praise God. Let's look at Exodus. And let's look at Exodus. And chapter 18. In Exodus chapter 18, this is when Moses had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and now they're in the wilderness, and he's coming into contact with Jethro. Jethro was a Midian priest. Verse 8, and Moses told his father-in-law, that's Jethro, all the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who had delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who had delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dwelt proudly, he was above them. So God delivered Israel out of an impossible situation. Stay with me. Verse 14. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening?" And Moses said unto the father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his ways and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing which you do is not good. Thou wilt surely," what? "Wear away, both you and your people that are with thee, and this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Now hearken to my voice, and I'm going to give you counsel." Glory to God. "And God shall be with you. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the cause unto God." Now he told him how to select some men, and that the spirit that was on Moses would now come on them. And the men will now be there to assist Moses in counseling the people. Because if Moses, who was operating off of an Egyptian model, if he did not stop doing that he was gonna die early. Got it? Now, what happened to Jacob? He got out of faith. And when he got out of faith, he got back over here thinking like the world. He didn't look at the word of God anymore, and he assumed something happened to his son. Then he began to make declarations that put him in a place where now no faith is working in his life, and he's beginning to wear away early. I'm saying it's a temptation of the devil for you to worry. That it is designed to take you out of here earlier than you're supposed to go. And the Bible says for us to be anxious for nothing. Got it? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, put it up there on the board. That's Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Put it up there, and put it up there, if you will, in the Amplified first. Put it, I got that one. Yeah, Amplified. "Do not fret or have anxiety about" how many things? Anything. "But in" what? "Every circumstance," and in what? "Everything." Keep going. "By prayer and petition," definite request, "with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God." Keep going. Next verse. "And God of peace shall" what? "Be yours that tranquil state of soul ashamed, and the salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." He wasn't supposed to look that old. This environment is designed to age you fast. Fast. See people coming out of companies? Young folk. What it'll do, give you premature this, premature that, hair falling out this, things in your body going wrong. Why? Because you were never designed to live outside of heaven's atmosphere. You were never designed to worry about one single thing. And get this. God, Jesus said, come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, but because my yoke is easy and my burden, come on, is light. If you got a burden, it didn't come from the Lord. And what he tries to do is oppress us with that. I'm talking about the enemy now. This is a temptation. And your body starts breaking down, or somebody's body starts breaking down. Next thing you know, they need medication. Well, the medication got side effects because it's still getting medication, making the medication without the wisdom of God. And so, yes, it's doing something, but it'll do this for you, and your kidney will shut down at the same time. And they're still finding out things that we probably don't know that are happening with the things that have been invented by man without God. Folks, I'm telling you, all kinds of arthritis, all kinds of stuff that's coming in that shouldn't be coming in at all. Why? Go back to worry. Go back to see and fear. Worry is a form of fear. It's just disguise. Fear is 365 times in the Bible says, fear not. Now that's fear not for every day of the year. Come on now, you're not supposed to fear anything. You get this thing working in you right and get God's anointing working in you, I believe it'll reverse some of them cells that's been in there. Come on now, you'll come out 80 years old looking like a teenager. Hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord. I'm just saying we've been carrying some stuff that we never were supposed to carry. You were never designed to bear the weight of your own provision. You were never supposed to worry about money. You weren't that God to take care of us. Now, are we here? You look at people that have worried a lot and look on their face. They're so used to worrying, they can't hardly stop worrying. I mean, I can look around in here now. Now, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking up at the stars. I can look around in here now, and I can see people's face, and it's still tight, and they're still looking at me trying to figure out, is this really possible? Yes, it's possible. Praise God. If the Bible commands you to be, you be anxious for nothing, that's not a suggestion. That's a spiritual warfare degree so we can keep you healthy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not in anything. He said, casting all your care over on him because he cares for you. That's why you stay in faith. You stay in faith because you got to have some joy in your life. Now, you don't bear the weight of anything. When Daniel and the three Hebrews, okay, in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had a dream. He didn't know what it meant. And forgot what he dreamed. So he called his wise men, his sorcerers, and they couldn't tell him what he did. They said, King, just tell us what you dreamed. We can tell you what it meant. He said, well, I don't know what I dreamed. If you so smart, you tell me what I dreamed and what it is. They said, nobody could do that, so forth and so on. Well, he said, all right, because of that, if you don't tell me by tomorrow what I dream, I'm gonna cut your heads off. I'm gonna take your families, I'm gonna destroy them, so forth and so on. Now that's motivation, if you ever see motivation. That's placing a demand on your potential. But it wasn't enough because the potential wasn't in there. The potential is in you to rescue humanity from a lying, dying generation. We are designed to go into the ghetto. We are designed to go into East Africa. We are designed to go into these places. Now, and then check this out. So Daniel got a hold of it. Daniel said, oh, wait a minute. Tell the king, can I see him a minute? King, we got you covered. Just give me a couple of nights. I can tell you what you dream. King said, all right. Gave him a couple of nights. What happened? In a night vision, God showed Daniel what he dreamed and what it meant. Are you following what I'm saying? Now notice, he was connected with God. He is in the zone of the impossible. And that's where you've been made to operate. God is going to distinguish you and make you a showcase through his wisdom. The world is running out of answers. Folks, I know they're trying to save this thing, but let me tell you, the saints need to come into action because this economy is in trouble. It's being held together with chicken wire. And I'm telling you, it's about to come unravel, and somebody better come up with some answers. And I'm telling you, unless the kingdom of God is manifested, humanity cannot be saved. No, this is our time. I said, this is our time. Joseph had to be raised up, but notice what he did. He had to be used by God. Now, I'm saying in your life, put it up there, please, Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. In your life, joy. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Heaven doesn't get any more serious than joy. Y'all didn't get it. Heaven, joy is as serious as you get in heaven's atmosphere. You're supposed to have some joy on your face all the time. Somebody looking at you trying to figure out what in the world is wrong with you. Look what it says here. Therefore, with joy, you draw water out of the wells of salvation. You see, there is certain revelation you can't get outside of joy. Because joy is the only force that'll draw it out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Say amen to that. Amen. So from this day forward, whatever's been bugging you, whatever's been trying to defeat you by getting you to worry morning, noon, and night, I cancel the assignment of that spirit on your life right now in the name of Jesus. Now you do something that the devil didn't expect. You where he shot his best shot, you jump up and down with joy. Hey, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sit down. Now, wait a minute. Let me show you one more thing. Let me show you one more thing. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. The Bible calls for a sacrifice of praise. In other words, you're going to sacrifice praise. It's not something you want to do. It's going to be something you've been commanded to do. Look what it says here. This is Abraham now. And the Bible says in verse 6 of chapter 15, and he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 9, and he said, the Lord said, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram of 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took him of all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses Abram drove them away. Then a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Now I'm telling you, look at verse 11, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. You see what he did? He put the sacrifice up there on the thing to be sacrificed to the Lord, but when he turned his back, what tried to get it? Birds, the buzzards, they tried to take it. They tried to take the sacrifice that was going to open up heaven so that he could get his need met. But see, when you start sacrificing, when you start confessing, you're putting it on the altar. And you can't let the birds come in and try to steal your sacrifice to make you say something against what you have believed God for. You put your sacrifice on that altar, and every bird that come around, you take your 12 gauge, boom, boom. I'm here to tell you, that's why they put scarecrows out in the farmer's field, because the scarecrows throws a scare the crows away so they won't dig the seed up that the farmer has planted. What you put on that altar, you guard that altar. You believe God, you start confessing, don't you give up. You keep your faith on it. You deliver that and watch and see pretty soon. God will receive it. Heavens will open. Manifestation will take place. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. God will hear and answer your prayer. You be anxious for nothing. Don't let the devil get you in fear, because the birds will come. You just know that what God said to you, what he promised, he must come, make come to pass. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, if you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Take a seat, please. I can tell you right now, as soon as you start confessing the best of God for your life, birds gonna try to come. But you gotta tell them, shoot, get out of here, get out of here. Keep your confession right where it is. Abraham said, I'm a father of many nations. He didn't even have a child or nothing. The Bible says he considered not his own body, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now remember, your mind is a battlefield. That's what he did. He came in with Jacob through his senses. He showed him something that was supposed to represent that his son had died. But you can't take that as evidence. Faith is your evidence. Faith is based on the word of God. The Bible says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He was up there naked and didn't care, because he had joy, because he saw you and me coming home. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Did y'all get something out of that here today? Now, this is for somebody here. You